And it's that righteousness, that breastplate of righteousness, that can only be God's righteousness. It's not even yours. There was only one righteous man, Jesus. No other man can come close. No other man can fulfill the law of righteousness. Only Christ could, only Christ did, no one else has. He's got the cloak of righteousness. Now he's got two cloaks of righteousness. And under the law, what does the law say? If a brother has no cloak and you have two, what are you supposed to do? Give him one. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're standing naked before God. You don't have a cloak. God turns to your brother, your new adopted, he's not adopted, you're the adopted brother. You turn to your new brother, and your brother says, here, I got two coats, you take this one. But see, Jesus isn't allowed to give you the cloak of righteousness of man. He's not allowed to do that. So what he does is he gives you God's righteousness, which is a better righteousness. Amen? Alright. So, first of all, you're in His truth, wearing His righteousness. Alright, the next one. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Here's that peace. That peace, again, is not the peace of the warm and fuzzy feeling. The peace is the cessation of war. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now, who is he talking to here? Who's Paul talking to? Believers. He surely isn't talking to unbelievers, is he? So if he's talking to believers, what's it mean to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? What does it mean? Somebody? Peter said what? An instant jerk? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel? You mean Jesus is supposed to be a preacher? Yes. If you're a Christian, you are called to the ministry. There is no such thing as anyone called to be a pew warmer in the kingdom of God. You are called to be a soldier. God is a God of armies. That's one of His names. The Lord God of hosts means armies. The God of armies. If you die now and go to heaven, do you expect to come back with Him, as the Bible says, when He comes to kick Satan's butt? Do you expect to come back? Yes. The Scripture says you'll return with Him. Amen? How will you return? As a soldier. Now, in God's kingdom, there are five ministries. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You are called to one of those five. You're to be discipled until you're ready to walk in it. Jesus gave us an example. First, He taught the 12, one bullet, and then He sent them on. He appointed 12, 11 of them in. I like those guys. Of course, they screwed up the first day out with their new job and gambled to see who was going to take Judas' place. And of course, they tried to set a limit on it as to who was qualified. You know, unless you're one of our guys and part of our team, you can't be one.
God had other ideas. He set them straight and picked up Saul of Tarsus. As far as they were concerned, it could have been a worse choice. Totally was not qualified, as far as they were concerned. I mean, how can you consider someone who throws Christians in prison and defeats them to bears and lions qualified to be an apostle? Just, you know, doesn't add up.
But with God, he thought it was a pretty good plan. Which just goes to prove you can't always figure God out. And sometimes I think God does it that way on purpose. Because if you could figure him out, you'd think you were pretty smart. In fact, you might get to the point you thought you were smarter than he was. Or is. Or shall be. So he just kind of likes to keep you in always guessing sometimes. He'll let his ideas be known. But sometimes he just wait a little bit. That's why Ricky, growing up, he can remember me. Carrie and Kelly remember me. They'll ask me, why do I have to do this? Because I told you to. But why? I don't want to tell you why. Just do it. Didn't I do that? You ever hear that? I still do that. Right. Why do I do that?
Why?
To teach them to be obey God without question. You say you want to obey God, that's good. Practice with me. How can you obey God whom you cannot see if you can't obey somebody you can see? That God's put there for you to obey. I better look at it. We're about to get into another area. Romans 13. And one, you don't have to turn there, but we'll do that one that while I'm here. Romans 13 is one of those examples where Herod has lied to you, and the church has helped him. Romans 13, called the government chapter, has nothing to do with government. Nothing. It has to do with God's kingdom and how God's kingdom operates. And yet the government would have you to believe that if you don't obey the government, you're going out and go to hell. Well, that's what Hitler did to his people. And they believed it. Yet they were tried for war crimes, weren't they? All right. Each shot in the preparation of gospel is that you are to be taught to be prepared to preach whenever, wherever, however God wants you to preach His kingdom, His word. What I said last night, the Lord showed me and said to me, who will plead my case if you won't? If you won't plead the case of God to this ungodly world, who will? The churches aren't. They've already given up their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and joined with the God called the state. Think of that. You going to sit back and let Vermont go to hell? You want that on your conscience? You want to stand before the Lord in judgment day, saved, all pretty and all dressed in white and feel warm and fuzzy, and see that the judgment of Vermont went down because you were too sorry, too lazy, too selfish, too busy to plead His case, and a lot of people die and go to hell because of you? Didn't have your feet shy with the preparation of gospel. Now let me show you something else about this shod with the preparation of gospel. When you're running in battle, and if the battle is in the midst of boulders, is the boulder going to hurt you, or will you just go around it? You'll go around it. No. The boulder will not stop you from fighting the battle, but a little sharp rock on the bottom of your foot will.
Can you imagine sending an army out into rock-strewn territory to fight a battle barefoot? There they are with their swords. They wouldn't last very long, would they? Well, you know what? When you go out there into that world and you tell somebody, you know Jesus Christ, and they hit you with some kind of crap that you don't know about, you're a step on the rock. If you don't know how to answer them with this word right here, if you don't know how to answer them with that word, then it will stop you in your tracks, just as real, just as viable, as running across a field and stepping on a sharp rock will stop you in your tracks. If you don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you don't know this word and how to explain it to people and how to make them understand it, then you will be asked a question and you will be stopped in your tracks. Amen? I've been preaching this for a long time, this word, and I always get to learn something new, and I always get to see something new, but I can say this, and I can say it honestly, and some of you have been with me long enough to testify on this, I have never been asked a question, ever, that I couldn't answer when it comes to the Word of God. Now, I may not have been able to answer it instantly. Amen? There have been a couple times when somebody's asked me a question, I said, wait a minute, I don't know that the second, but let me ask the Lord God. And come right back with the answer. Have you ever, am I telling the truth? And every one of you should be able to do the same thing. Teach God in the preparation of the gospel. How would you like to know the secret of the preparation of the gospel? Is that fair?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Well, God said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. I will tell you. One night before we're through. All right. Got to hold back something. Gird your feet shod in preparation of the gospel is so that you will not look stupid before them. Always ready to preach and know what you're saying. Alright, and how can you know what you're saying if you don't study? If you don't read His Word, how are you going to know it? You think you're going to come in here and hear me speak as good as I do? And get all this great knowledge and walk out there and remember it. Shoot, you don't remember it 5 minutes later in the other room. All my ministry, I've had a rule. The disciples, when the service is over, we go out and I say, okay, what'd you learn? Oh, wow, that was great. I learned a lot. Okay, what'd you learn? Well, it was great. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, what'd you learn? Is that about the way it goes? And once in a while, somebody will say, well, so-and-so is pretty neat. What? Goodbye, everybody. You dismissed? That was the last thing I said. But somebody will usually come up with one thing, and then somebody else might come up with another, and it starts the ball rolling. But you know, what was the purpose of doing it? The purpose of doing it is to make your memory cells work. What do you think the Bible talks about when it says speaking to each other in psalms and hymns? When you talk to each other about the Word, you're infusing your mind with the Word of God. If you never talk to people about the Word, you can't remember it. And when you come in a meeting like this, and you learn stuff, and you go out and you talk about it, then you remember it. And then me. But if you don't talk about it, you're not going to remember. Each shot. What's the next one? Where am I? Alright. Above all, taking the shield of faith. I better write that down, shield. Faith. All right. Shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Now, what is interesting about that verse? The shield quenches. What does it mean to quench? To put out. What puts out fire?
Water.
Believe it or not, the shield of faith is made of water. Say, well, golly, if it's made of water, how do I hold it up? Better hold it up in faith. The shield of faith is made by water. What water? Huh? No. I said water, not spirit. What baptism? Huh? Yeah, why? What happens in water baptism? You don't. You're right. You die. What happens? Wait a minute. You're raised with him? Raised with him? You know, Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. What are these mansions? New bodies. Why? This body is corruptible. It was sold into sin. It is no good. It's under the curse. God said, cursed is everything on the earth. Did not the body come from the earth? Then it's cursed. God can't bless that which is cursed. Jesus Christ did not die to save your body. He didn't have to. You got to do it. We're waiting for you. The body's like a house. All right. Now, if this body is cursed and we're to recognize it as dead, then what body do you walk around in? His body. So by faith, when you're baptized in water, you go into the water, represents the death and burial. You come out of the water, representing the resurrection of Christ. With Christ, you are now in His body. Your spirit, your soul, is in His body, which is the shield that protects you from the darts of Satan. Does that make some sense? Am I making sense to you? You know, is this understandable?
No.
No, that was a phrase I said. Where did I miss it?
Your spirit is in God's soul.
No. Your spirit and your soul is hidden in Christ. Body. Alright? By faith, hidden in Christ's body, the spirit of type and shadow of that water baptism, the water of that baptism, is a shield that protects you. So that when Satan fires his darts, they're not just deflected, they are put out. They are quenched by your faith. Satan says you're not worthy. Faith says, yes, I am. Satan says you can't raise the dead. Faith says, oh, yes, I can. See what I mean? Satan says, God doesn't love you anymore. Faith says, oh, yes, he does. Satan says, you fell. Now you've blown it. Faith says, oh, I can't have blown it. Jesus already took care of me. Faith is what keeps you in right standing with God. Amen? All right.
17. And take the helmet of salvation. So we got salvation.
Helmet.
Take the helmet of salvation. What does the helmet protect?
The head.
The head. All right? The head is where your brain is. The brain is the interface to your soul. Some people call it the mind. And it protects it. The helmet of salvation protects your mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you've got the helmet on, your mind cannot be broken or defeated. The mind is also the soul, the seat of your will. Amen? And without that in protection, you can't do the first part. Be strong in the Lord. That takes will. Alright. And the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One of the most important ones, and one of the most misunderstood. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? Alright. Now, if I come at you as an enemy, and I have a sword, am I going to come like this?
No.
No. I'm going to come ready and prepared to battle. Alright? So you don't take the Word of God and wave it around and say, I got the Word of God, it's the sword of the Spirit, oh, I'm going to kick your butt. No, that's not what you do. You do that, you're going to get your butt kicked. So what do? You use the example of Jesus. Jesus knew how to use the sword. Huh? Let's give an example. The best example of all, we'll go over there where Jesus was in the desert. The first thing Satan does, tempting him, because he was hungry, he says, if you be the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. Now what Satan did is he took his sword of deceit and lies and swung at Jesus, and Jesus parried with his sword when he said, it is written. See, he took the word. It is written. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He countered Satan's attack with the word, the sword. Alright, now watch this. Satan has come down, he's made his blow. Jesus has come up and countered. Right? Then what's he do? Takes him where? Takes him up to the holy city. What's he showing?
Alright. If thou
be the Son of God, cast yourself down. And then Satan does what? He says, for it is written. Satan knows the word. And his people will use the word to fool you. And if you're not a good swordsman, you'll get killed. He said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he will put his angel charge over you, lest you durst your foot upon a rock. And Jesus, now Satan had come back around with another blow. Jesus took the sword and parried it again with the word by saying,
it is written.
It is written.
Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
See, before, if you did not know the general truth of the word, if you did not know the general truth of the word, you would not know that what Satan, the context in which Satan quoted the scripture would have been to tempt you.
See, just because somebody quotes scripture doesn't make them right. You got to look at the context. You can't know the context unless you know the word. Amen? People constantly come to me and try to use the word against me. But I'm a better source than they are. I know the context of the word. And when they try to use it erroneously against me, I cut their heads off. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now Satan tries one more attempt. Jesus defended himself. Satan comes back with another strike, takes him up on the mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, says they're mine to give to whoever I will. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give to you. Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Man, with that one, he cut Satan a good one. And Satan ran off. You might have to do some swordplay. You understand what I'm saying? Alright. So, the sword is important. It is the word, and the use of the word. Become skilled at it. Become skilled at it. You know another example of Jesus using the sword? When the Pharisees came and said, why do you all eat with unwashed hands? It's our tradition, you wash your hands. How come you don't wash your hands? Jesus turned and said, it is written. He said, well, has Isaiah spoken of you hypocrites? For with their lips they worship me, but their heart is far from me. He used the word. He didn't say, because I didn't tell them they had to. He didn't say, wait a minute, I told them they didn't have to. He didn't say that. He used the word. You know, every time you try to defend yourself, you end up cutting yourself. You don't need to justify yourself if you're right. If you're right, you don't need to justify yourself. You only need to justify yourself when you're wrong. Amen? You justify God's word by giving it out truthfully. Amen. Alright, what time is that clock? Can't be right.
8:35.
Alright, I gotta hurry. I know I won't be able to do the whole thing today. I'll have to finish it tomorrow, but I'm going to give you the underwear. We'll go through it quickly, and then tomorrow night we'll take up there. Alright, turn to Colossians. I know there's a Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. This is the underwear. The armor here was the outerwear. Now we're going to deal with the underwear. If you do not wear this under the armor, you will not be able to wear or use the armor. Do you understand what I'm saying? What? Okay. If you do not use this underwear, you will not be able to keep the armor on. All right, chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. First of all, he doesn't say they are the elect of God, does he? He says, as the elect of God. See, it didn't say put on, comma, the elect of God, comma. It says put on as the elect of God. Now, who are the elect of God? The apostles. Amen? Put on as the apostles, holy and beloved, that is the apostles, bowels of mercies. Where does bowels of mercies come in here?
Under the breastplate.
Get the picture here? All right. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. That says between your mind and your shirt, the helmet. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I'll put it in context. If Satan's disciple has a quarrel against you, are you supposed to forgive him? No. But if your brother has one, forgive him. Alright? It's got to be in the context. That doesn't mean you can't pray for Satan's disciple. Preparing one another, forgiving one another, if any man of the quarrel against any, even if Christ forgive you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What is charity here in relationship to this?
The
belt. The belt. And charity is the agape love of God. And go home and pray about this. Read that. Study it. Come back here tomorrow night. And we'll go and break each one of these things down in detail and how it operates. Just as we did the armor. And then we'll show how each one works together to equip you to do battle. And have fun. Stomping Satan's head. Even the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Did you learn something?
Yes.
Did you learn something? Was this alright? Did it do you some good?
Yes.
Good. Make you sing a song up here. And let him go home. It's safe. See, now I'm getting a nice guy. Yeah, it used to be I'd keep going until 2 o'clock in the morning. Huh? Alright, they'll tell you to pay. Remember the time Ricky Ball, when we were in Maryland and we were going to do Ephesians? Remember that? In Maryland we were going to do the book of Ephesians. I was going to do a chapter a night. And the first night, after 5.5 hours, I finished verse 1 of chapter 1. I'll be nice to you guys this time. Go for it, son.